There ain't nothing that can't be done by me, God. Ain't nobody gonna come between me and God. One day we'll live together where angels cry, me and God. Early in the morning talking it over, me and God. Late at night talking it over, me and God. You could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my father, he's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world with the staff and the rod. We're a team, me and God. I am weak and he is strong, me and God. He's the one, me and God.
He's the one I lean on when life gets hard, me and God. He's my father, he's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world with the staff and the rod. We're a team, me and God. And rock routine, me and God.
After our time of worship through song this morning, we're going to open our service with an opportunity to flood the altar. Right now, so many things to be thankful for. So much gratitude should fill our hearts. Yet, for some reason, I feel like we find ways to not be satisfied with the things God has blessed us with. So I don't know what this morning you're expecting from God, but I want to tell you this. You're not going to receive any of it unless you come this morning deciding to praise Him for being God. So this morning, we're going to have an opportunity right now to come to this altar and just praise Him. Just to pour out our hearts, just to say thank you for being God of my life, Creator of the universe, Savior of my soul. If that spoke to you this morning and you just want to tell God thank you, I want to challenge you this morning, you come on forward. You come on forward right now as we flood the gates of heaven with praise. This morning, right now, you come. As you do this, I want you to know that I will, in just a moment, close this in a prayer, and then we'll get started with the message. Just praise God right where you are. Thank you. Father, silence isn't something that we're good with in a church service. It scares us. We don't know why. Maybe we're fearful that you're going to speak. Lord, that's our heart's desire this morning. is that in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, you would give us an opportunity to hear from you. And Father, as we begin this service, we've already worshiped through song, Lord. It was a wonderful time. Thank you for the gifts and the talents of those who lead the music, for Cameron, for Janice, for Anthony, for all of those who lead the choir. Lord, I can't call all their names, but you know exactly who they are. For Caitlin and Austin, for Brian. Lord, for those who lift their voices up, who magnify you with the words of their mouth, with the depths of their souls. Lord, this morning we just need to be still and we just need to be quiet and we need to worship you as our Creator, as our Savior, as our Sustainer. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the uncountable blessings that you shower upon us. Father, most certainly those blessings never stop in our greatest time of need. So thank you. This morning we give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for beginning our service praying together with us. It's special when we bow our knees together. There's something wonderful about that. And remember, last week we began a new series called Staying Positive in 2016. So that's my goal, is for us to enter into this year with a positive attitude. Last week I talked with you about being optimistic. It's so important in our lives with everything that cripples our faith or that Satan uses to try and cripple our faith. It's so important that you remain optimistic. It's so important that you can look to the Scripture, that you can look to the heavens, and you can tell, you can know, you can understand, you can feel and sense that God is real. That God loves you right where you are. It's important that you be optimistic, that you understand, that you know all of those things. This morning, as we learn how to stay optimistic in 2016, I want to talk with you about being grateful. Why do we need to be grateful? I want to tell you, because most of the time, we only hear negativity. We began last week talking about that. We need to be fed up and tired of negativity. We see it on the tube. We see it or hear it with our families or at work or wherever we are. It seems like that's all we're fed is negativity. And we need to focus on the good things that God is doing in our lives. Complaining has become an art form that we are good at. So we need to break that habit. We need to spend the next several weeks just praising God because He is God. That's my hope for you. That is my goal through the messages that are coming, that you would just praise God for being God. But this morning, in the midst of everything that's going on, we talk about negativity. I want to tell you, I want to give you just a few examples of things that you hear on a regular basis. Right? One of the number one thing that we complain about is the weather. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Don't we complain about the weather? Can I get an amen? I knew I'd get that one. It sounds good, doesn't it? We complain about the weather. It's too hot outside, preacher. Man, it's December. It's Christmas Day and it's 71 degrees. What are we going to do? It's too hot for Christmas. It can't snow if it's 71 degrees outside. Hey, this is Tennessee. Just give it a few minutes. The weather's going to change. Because then we complain about it being too cold. How many of you really appreciate last week's weather now that this morning you woke up and it was cold outside? How many of you? Come on, let's be honest. Whoo, how many of you bones hurt this morning when you woke up? Yeah, I see some of you saying, yep, that was me. So you know what I'm talking about. How many of you did this? Man, I wish it would stop raining. Tired of this rain. How many of you done that? Listen, California has drought all year long. Now it's raining and they desperately need it to stop. But it seems we're never satisfied. Here's one. I enjoy this one. I go to restaurants occasionally and I'm big on service. You know what I'm talking about, right? We go into a restaurant and someone should acknowledge that you're there quickly. They should look at you and they should say, thank you for coming and joining us. Someone will be with you in just a moment. How many of you really appreciate it when someone does that? You go into a restaurant. It really gives you some staying power. I'm willing to stay just a little bit longer to get my seat if someone will notice that I'm there, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Whoop. And I'm thankful that I didn't trip over that. And then while we're there, our waiter or our waitress comes after 15 minutes of sitting at the table. I understand they're busy. But just come by. If you are a server, this is all we ask, that you just come by the table and you say, listen, I've got just a couple of other tables that I need to get to. If you'll give me just a minute, I will be right to you. Right? And then you can go right on. What a blessing that would be, huh? Yeah. But we complain. We complain. We complain. And really, there's no reason to complain because we go to a restaurant because we don't want to cook at home. That's a blessing, isn't it? So all of these things are going on. I'm amazed. It's my nature. Just because of who I am, I'm negative. I don't mean to be. Most of the time I'm optimistic, but there are so many times in my life where I see negativity swell up inside of me. I don't intend for that to happen. It just happens. And then I let it. Oh my goodness. I'm not grateful so many times, but I want to be. That's my heart's desire. And so this year, for me, I want to tell you that I want to be obsessed about developing a heart of gratitude. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, that you be obsessed this year about developing a heart of gratitude. In order for you to do that, then you must choose that you are going to have a heart of gratitude. That just means that you've got to decide it. Right now, today, right where you are, you have to decide that today you're going to develop a heart, you're going to choose it, a heart of gratitude. Tragically, most of us won't. But there are three things this morning that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God. Three statements this morning that I believe will help you choose gratitude. So with that, I want to encourage you to stand at the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and following. Wonderful story. When you get there in your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go. Remember, from a distance. He said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. Listen, guys, as they went, they were cleansed. You need to be able to focus on that just for a minute. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, how many, church?
One
of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Wow. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? We pray with me. Father, this morning, as we enter into this time of worship through the teaching and preaching of your message, I pray, I hope that you would remove any doubt, that you would remove any fear, that you would bind Satan far from us, that you would keep us from the evil one, and that we would recognize as individuals that you are the great physician, that you are the mighty comforter, that you are the Savior of our souls. Lord, today I pray that I would be the one. Father, I pray today that the congregation at First Baptist Church would be the one who returns, who lifts up our voices and thanks you. That we would lift up our voice as we fall on our faces, and that we would show gratitude because you are God. Today, this morning, as your word goes forth, I pray that it'll not return void. Father, have your way with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Three statements this morning. Three statements that I pray will help you choose gratitude. How do you show gratitude? How do you do it? You choose to do it. You choose. How do you show gratitude, church? You choose to do it. So this morning, my hope and my prayer for you is that you would choose gratitude, that you would choose gratitude and acknowledge that God is King, that Jesus is King, that He is King of every situation in your life. So number one, I want to share with you this morning three statements. Number one is this. Turn over on your bulletins. If you have that with you, you can follow along the outline. Fill in those blanks there. Just a couple of blanks for each statement. Number one is this. I know every good thing I have comes from God. I know every good thing I have comes from God. If you have that this morning, say amen.
Amen.
You know it. You understand it. This is what the Scripture says. James chapter 1 verse 17. Listen to the Scripture. James said it this way. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Do you understand that? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Isn't that wonderful? I remember growing up. Friends, by the way, my mother is here with us this morning. I'm so thankful. I would ask her to stand up, but if she did, you still wouldn't be able to see her. I love you, Mama. Mama is here this morning. I'm so thankful that my mother is here with us. And if you get an opportunity just on her way out this morning, just tell her you're glad that she's here. But one thing that Mama did well when I was growing up is she was an encourager. It didn't matter what was going on in our lives. It didn't matter what was going on in my life. Mama would always tell me, son, you can do anything you set your mind to. The one thing that I can take away from growing up and Phyllis being my mother is that she always encourage me that you can do anything that you set your mind to. With everything else that was going on, that's one legacy that my mother left me. You can do anything that you set your mind to. I started believing that. I really did. That's encouragement to hear that as a child, that if you set your mind to it, you can achieve it. Now, here's a caveat to that, right? You have to be willing to work to get it accomplished. You can't just expect it to happen for you. You have to do the legwork to achieve those goals and those accomplishments that you set for yourself. But I'm a firm believer that if you can dream it, you can experience it. But you've got to get after it. Because if you're not willing to sacrifice, understand this, someone else out there in the world is sacrificing. So I love that. Growing up, I was always encouraged. I was always loved growing up. I could never stand before you and say that my mother didn't love me, or that my father didn't love me, or that my grandmother didn't love me, or that the neighbors, believe it or not, the neighbors didn't love me. They did. They loved me. And I'm so thankful that I can tell you that this morning, But I need you to understand, around all of that love, even the encouragement that I received, I can look back and I can tell you for sure that it was a gift from God. God is good. I know every good thing I have comes from above. Anything good that you have, anything good that you have ever experienced, anything good that you have ever received, anything good that you have ever been handed, it's from God's hand to you. Do you understand that, church, this morning? God may use an individual to give you a $1 million check. Woo, I wish he'd come on. But you need to understand, it's a gift from God. Do you got that this morning? If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to get it. You need to receive that. And that's a fact, I believe. In fact, I want to share with you, as you look into the Word of God, our greatest example is the Word of God, about how God is a giver of good gifts. That's my Jesus. That's my Savior. That's the Creator of the universe. And so I want to give you some examples this morning so that you can see that God is a good giver. All right. Get your pencils ready, or get your minds ready, or get that tape recorder ready. Whatever you're going to do, number one is this. God gave Noah a plan for the ark. Didn't he? God didn't just tell Noah to go out there and build the ark. God gave him a very detailed, very descriptive plan. I'm so thankful that he did that. You know, if you came to me and you said, go build a house, if Tracy did that and she said, go build us a house, she better either come to me with a plan for that to happen, or with someone else that she's already got ready to build the house for us. Because if she comes to me, it's not going to get done. I'm not a builder. Noah, I don't think at this point, was a builder. But he had some very detailed plans, and God walked him through it. God is a giver. He didn't have the ability to build that boat, but God gave him the ability to build that boat. It was a gift that God had given him. Noah didn't have the ability to save his family of eight, but God gave him the ability through the ark to save his family. That's number one. Also this, God gave Israelites bread from heaven in the morning. Every morning there was manna. Every single morning when they were tired of it, there was bread in the morning. And one time, God even sent them a bunch of meat to eat, right? Because they had complained. Every morning they woke up. Every single morning. And there was bread that tasted like sweet cakes. Every single morning. You tell me that God isn't good. I dare you. Go on right now. Tell me God isn't good. God is good all the time. Thank you so much. And so he fed the Israelites in the morning, but at night he covered them with fire by night. You remember that story, right? God is so good. He takes care of those who belong to him. God gave David a stone to kill Goliath. You know, David just walked over there to where those pebbles were and he looked at them. He chose well. But God led David to those stones that would slay Goliath. He had practiced. He had a lot of practice. I want to tell you, if you're going to be better than everybody else, then you got to practice more than everybody else. Do you understand that, church? That's what has to happen. You've got to get after it and put more time in than everybody else. So out there on the range, or out there on the shepherd field, David would take that old sling and a stone, and he would scare off wild beasts that would come for the sheep. He got good at it. I can imagine him being out there bored to tears, and he would say, well, let me see if I can take this old sling and this rock right here, see if I can hit that sheep in the backside. Right? I would have done that. I would have been guilty. And so when mom or dad said, go get one of the sheep and bring it to us so that we can have supper tonight, I would have went and got one, and they would have asked me, why are all these bruises on the back of this animal? And I would have said, I don't know. I guess it fell climbing up those mountains or coming down those mountains, knowing all along that it would have been my fault. But God gave David the stones to kill Goliath. Jonah, y'all remember this story, had a fish to swallow him. He was thrown overboard of a ship because of the storm that came. He could have drowned. He would have drowned had not God given him this huge fish, whatever it looked like, whatever it was, to swallow him. But then it had this GPS device on it so that Jonah ended up right exactly where God wanted him. You know why? Because God is a giver. And God is so good at what He does. Listen to this. God gave Virgin Mary the faith to obey and to give birth to Jesus. What would have happened if she would have said, "No, you've got the wrong girl. I'm not the one. You need to just keep on going." The story might have been different, right? I don't think it would have been different for us. God would have found someone else. But for Mary, the story would have been different. God gave her the ability to be obedient. And then she chose that that's what she was going to do. God gave the wise men a star to lead them to the manger. How good is that? For centuries they had been studying, they had been watching, they had been hoping, they had been waiting, they had been looking for the signs. Finally, it appeared in the heavens and they recognized that that was the star God was going to use to lead them to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God gave the wise men a star for their journey. It's what He does. He's so good. So good, but listen to this one. This is the one I want to end this part of the message with this morning. God gave the world. Right, Brad? God gave the world the Prince of Peace. The Lamb of God. The Savior of all creation. God gave. God is a giver. And this morning, I need you to see that. And so you can make this statement for yourself today. I know every good thing I have comes from God. Can you say that this morning, church? I know.
Every good thing I have comes from God.
That's good. Let's do it this way. Repeat after me. I know. Every good thing.
I have
comes from God. Isn't that good? I know that. Do you know that this morning? If you know that, say amen. We'll move on to number two. Number two. Here it is. Statement. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I will not let what I want rob me from what I have. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 9. Solomon. Oh, Solomon. He had everything, didn't he? I mean, he really had everything. Everything that his heart desired, he had it all. And this is what he said in Ecclesiastes. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. What does that mean, preacher? He would rather have the sight of his eyes than a roaming appetite for the things of the world. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's saying. That's what Solomon is sharing. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desires, because this also is vanity and grasping for wind. You ever tried to lasso wind? You ever try to do that? I want you to try that next time the wind's blowing outside. Next time you see those leaves swirling like this, I want you to try and lasso the wind. See if you can do that. I want you to run out there right in the middle of it and see if you can just grab a big old handful of wind. That was a good jump, wasn't it? I see y'all laughing at my jump. I'm not a ballerina. But here's what happens. Listen to me, church. Gratitude turns what we have into enough, doesn't it? When you're thankful for what you have, then God turns that gratitude into enough. Then you begin to understand that it's enough, and we're so thankful that God gives us enough right in the middle of everything, right in the thick of things. God gives us enough. Listen to this. People who aren't necessarily happy but have a little bit of gratitude. People who aren't necessarily happy. Remember, we've talked about this before, the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a choice, right? It's based on circumstances. Joy is what you have because of who Jesus is in your life. But people who aren't necessarily happy but are developing an attitude of gratitude, eventually have this happen. Your gratefulness allows you to be happy. Does that make sense to you? I didn't know somebody was going to jump or what, but there's some shuffling in the curtains up there. So, reality. Even though you might not necessarily be happy, I don't know how to say this poetically. Even though you might not be necessarily happy where you are, if you're trying to develop an attitude of gratitude, if you're trying to be grateful, then when you reach that point where you understand that you just need to choose gratefulness, that gratefulness will turn into happiness. It's amazing how that works. The gratitude turns into happiness. Be grateful for who you are. Think about it for a moment. Every one of you who are here, think about those things you have. Most of you can say that I have 3 meals a day. Some of you have 4 meals a day. Some of you have 5 meals a day. I want to tell you, those of you who have 4 or 5 meals a day, you really probably should only be eating 3 meals a day. but think about it. Most of us have enough. That's ultimately what I'm trying to say. You, most of you who are here this morning, you have enough. There's food in the pantry or there's food in the refrigerator. Almost every one of you, almost every single person in this room has a bed to sleep on. Are you grateful for your bed? It might be uncomfortable and lumpy, but it's better than that old hard floor, isn't it? You have a bed to sleep on. Most of you have clothes to wear. Most of you, friends, listen to me. Most of you have a car to drive. It might not be a Lamborghini, but most of you have a vehicle that will get you from point A to point B. Most of you are blessed beyond measure, and even if you don't have a vehicle to drive, somebody will pick you up and take you where you need to go. Because God is a giver, and God is good at what he does. Some of you have jobs, might only be making minimum wage, and you're hoping for an upgrade, and you know, you're thinking about having to pay out $650 a month in health insurance, and I'm telling you, just be thankful that you can pay it. Even when times are tough, be thankful that you have that job, that you can pay it. And then we have an opportunity, even this morning, that we've been able to come in here and freely worship the King when there are so many places around the world that have to sneak to worship the King. So we have freedoms, and so I want you to think about those things. Think about the things you have. Because there are places in the world that have so much less. And I want to tell you something. This is a reality. Maybe it's a reality check for you. All of these other countries who don't have the things that you and I just thought about, might not have food, might not have all of these other things, they have still Christ. And I'm going to tell you, you know what they say? Christ is enough. That's my hope for you this morning, that you'll develop that attitude of gratitude in such a way that you can acknowledge and say that God is enough, that Christ is enough. So please allow that gratitude to turn into what we can say, He is enough. This is what Philippians 4 verses 11 through 13 say. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. How are we to be in whatever situation we're in? How? Content. Content means satisfied. Okay? That I am content, that I am satisfied. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. This is what he's saying, those of you who are struggling, what does that mean? I know how, when I don't have a lot, to deal with it. I know how, when I do have a lot, to deal with it. That's what he's saying. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Then he goes on and says this. Everyone knows this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What Paul is saying, understand this, don't get this confused. He is saying that Christ is enough. In the midst of everything you might be experiencing, whatever it is, whatever area you're hurting in, wherever you're struggling right now, fall on your knees, go to the Savior, because Christ is enough.
Amen.
He's enough, church. He is enough. Last thing this morning that I want to share with you. Last statement. Claim this. I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. That's why we started on our knees this morning. I'll turn every blessing I have into praise. I want that to be your mantra. I want that to be your cry from the pits of your soul, from the deepest depths of your soul. I want you to say with excitement, with an exclamation point, God, I'm ready to turn every blessing that I have into praise. Are you ready to do that this morning, church? I sure hope so. Every blessing I don't turn back to praise turns to pride. Wow. Every blessing that I don't turn back to praise turns to pride. Chew on that one for a moment. Hard to swallow. So the scripture tells us in Psalms 63 verses 4 and 5, therefore I will bless you while I live. That's what the psalmist says. Listen, in every circumstance, we're talking about Paul just a minute ago in his circumstance of being full or being hungry. He said, I'm satisfied whatever situation I find myself because I know that I receive my strength from God. Now the psalmist is saying, I will bless you while I live. If you have breath in your lungs, then God is worthy of praise. Amen? If you have breath in your lungs, God is worthy of praise. And so the psalmist said, I will bless you, or I will praise you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul, it says, my soul shall be satisfied. The soul, the depths of your soul. Literally, he's talking about all-consuming part of your body. Fully, you are to be satisfied. And so this statement from the psalmist, he says this, I am fully and completely satisfied in you. That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm fully and completely satisfied in you. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Friends, that's what it's about. It's about praising God right where we are in whatever circumstance we are in, praising Him right now, today, right where you are. Pretend with me just for a moment that you have everything your heart desires. Go with me. Some of you probably can do this quite well because you've probably experienced it. Think with me just for a moment. You've got the house, the roof over your head. You have the food in the refrigerator. You have a bed to sleep in. You have water to turn on. Shower to get clean in. Car to drive, gas in the fuel tank. Wonderful family that's loving and kind and compassionate. Think about all of those things. You have all of those things. Now, think for just a moment. I want you to do this. Picture this in your mind. Think just for a moment that it all went away. Hurts, doesn't it? I don't know where I'm going to lay my head down tonight. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm going to put on my back. I don't know where I'm going to take a shower and get clean. I don't know how I'm going to get to where I need to be so that I can begin providing for myself. Think about all of those things for a minute. They were taken away. Now, think about it. All of a sudden, you got it all back just like that. How full would your hearts be? How full? They would be overflowing. Amen? You would have a testimony. Amen? If that were to really have happened and that was you this morning and then all of a sudden it came back, you would have jumped up and shouted right then, that was me. God did that for me. That would be you. You would do that this morning. You'd have that testimony. You would have that praise on your lips. And so I'm going to do it for you. Watch this. That was me. I had nothing. I had no salvation. I had no nothing. And God stood up and gave it to me. He loved me enough to give it to me. He did the same thing for you when you had nothing. He gave you everything. And you should be thankful for everything you have. Think about the scripture, these lepers. Oh, dear Lord, these lepers. They had nothing. They had lost their health. Leviticus chapter 13 talks about this. When you are infected with this disease, that you're to wear certain clothes, that you're to stand at a certain distance away from everyone, that you live with other lepers. This sickness, this disease, literally in the middle of the night, I mean, a finger could come off. Literally. You could have big sores swell up on you that it won't be ugly, but listen to this, that pus runs out of, that has the most putrid smell you have ever received into your nostrils. Literally, your flesh is dying. That's what these men were receiving. They had all of those things. Their life was taken away. They were literally dying. They see Jesus at a distance. Use Stacy as an example. And they hollered at him from a distance. Jesus, the scripture says, look at it in Luke chapter 17. Jesus, Master, heal us. They begged. They hollered from a distance. They hollered. They yelled. They did all of those things. From a distance, Jesus said, go to the priests. They didn't hesitate. They obeyed. They went. They left right then immediately. They didn't run up to Jesus with leprosy all over them. They literally turned around, the 10 of them, and they walked away going to the priest. Here's what happened. As they obeyed, right in the middle of their obedience, they were healed. They didn't even make it to the priests, and they were healed. Friends, if that ain't a hallelujah story, I don't know what is. They left. They were healed on the journey, and they were satisfied, all but one. And that one, Miss Phyllis, that one individual came running back to Jesus, went all the way to him. Come on, follow me. Went all the way to him. Just pretend. Went all the way. Didn't waste any time. Went all the way to Jesus. Said, thank you. He fell at the Savior's feet and he praised him because he had been healed. That's what the one did. Friends, that's gratitude. Amen. That's gratitude. This morning, we need you. God is desiring that you would be the one right in the middle of everything. He wants you to be positive, but he wants you to have a heart of gratitude. This morning, we're fixing to have an invitation. I hope I lose my voice completely. I hope it's gone. But this morning, I believe that God is looking for just one who would come today. Just one who would be obedient. Just one who would turn around and come back and say, here I am. Thank you for your blessings today. Amidst of all the hollering and the screaming, today will you be the one? Today would you be grateful for those things that God has given you? Today would you run to the arms of the Savior and say, I love you, Jesus. Today, would you run into the arms of the Savior and say, thank you, Jesus. Today, would you run to Jesus and praise Him for being God? Listen, we're wrapping this thing up. If you're here and you've never been introduced to Jesus, then you won't know that you need to run into His arms. So this morning, you're thinking about this series about how to be positive in 2016. It starts with being optimistic through every circumstance that you face, but the next thing is you've got to be grateful. Optimism is one thing, but you've got to be grateful. So if you're here and you're alive, but you never trusted Jesus as your Savior, His desire today is that you would be that one. His desire today is that you would acknowledge that you are a sinner far from Him. His desire is that you would believe that He sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross for your sins. His desire is that you would confess that sin and say, Jesus, I need You to save me right where I am. That's God's desire for you today. So we're fixing to have an invitation. Are you that one who's going to say, you know, I might have messed up a lot in the past, but today I'm going to get it right? If that's you, then this invitation will be for you. But God's looking for one today. Let it be you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, Lord, in the midst of the hardships and the pain, I surrender everything I have to You. Father, in the midst of the turmoil and the brokenness, I surrender everything I have to You. Father, I pray for those who have gathered this morning right where they are that their tears would fall. But Father, I pray that those tears would fall on Your feet. This morning, I pray that the lost would be found. This morning, I pray that the prodigal will come home. This morning, I pray, Lord, that we would sweep and clean our house out until we find those coins that we've lost. Father, this morning I pray that we would cry and cry and cry until we receive that healing that we so desire. Lord, I know what You desire. We see it in the Word this morning. You desire that we not be a part of the nine, because Your Word says, were there not ten? Father, You desire this morning that we would be a part of the one. Lord, that was 10% of them. They came back. I pray this morning, Lord, it would be 10, not 10, Lord. Today, that there be 100% of those who have gathered who would surrender it all to You. Father, we praise You as we move forward in this time of celebration. We praise You for what You're about to do. As You look for the one this morning, beckon our hearts. Burden us for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand up this morning? During this invitation time, would you come today?